Good morning. I'm Mary Lynn Polk, and I want to welcome you to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing the hymn of preparation that is found in your bulletin. There are several announcements that are in your bulletin that I want to lift up and call to your attention. The first one, if you will look on the back page of your bulletin, is the announcement about our Wednesday night service this week. And the Healthy Learners Program will be providing the meal as a fundraiser. We urge you to come. Healthy Learners is, as you know, is located in the Susanna Wesley building. And that's a very important contribution to our community. So do please come. We will have an outstanding program. And we would like for you to support the Healthy Learners. Also in your bulletin is the Fall Festival flyer. I would like to call to your attention. That's tonight. From 5 to 7, and it is in our fellowship hall, and you don't have to be a child to come and enjoy it. All you have to be is a child at heart, because they're going to be having lots of fun. So please do come and support our youth who are working with this. I also would like to call to your attention in the bulletin, if you look on the inside down at the bottom, you will see some important dates to remember. Why not just cut that out and put it on your refrigerator or put it on the family bulletin board, wherever your family keeps track of what's going on. Keep those dates in mind and begin to make your plans to attend those events. I would like to also call to your attention a couple of things out of the newsletter. First of all, I want to mention that our youth spent this past week carving pumpkins. And in addition to their having fun carving the pumpkins, they're going to bring joy and pleasure to several of the nursing homes in the area by taking these carved pumpkins to them to enjoy. And don't forget, it's flamingo time, and flocking for the flamingos helps them raise money. So be a sport and either buy insurance or conspire to get some of your friends flocked so that they wake up and find flamingos in their yard. And finally, our Main Point Band, which is our young people's band that supports the contemporary worship service, that takes place in the Fellowship Hall at 8:45. They have been asked and honored to perform for the fifth quarter, which occurs at Grace United Methodist Church in Abbeville after the Abbeville game. And the Grace Church is located right next to the Abbeville football field. So please come and support our Main Street band next weekend. That's in the newsletter if you want to check it out and get more information. Now, let us continue our worship by centering our hearts and minds as we continue to worship.
Thank you. If you are able, please stand and join with me in the call to worship. God is gathering us from many different places. No one is worthy, but all are invited. God lifts us up when we stumble and leads us back. God cares for us amid our pain and losses. We are delivered from our fears and saved from trouble. Happy are those who take refuge in a loving God. Our lips pour forth laughter and joyous singing. We join in shouts of praise to God. Taste and see how good God is. Trust in the one who awakens joy in place of tears. We will bless our God in all times and places. Let us exalt God's name together.
Please be seated, and I invite you to join me in the invocation. All-powerful God, we invoke your presence among us, for we need the knowledge and energy you alone can provide. Your ways are wonderful beyond our understanding. When our strength is spent, our vision clouded, and our hope gone, you reach out to us in ways we often fail to discern. We take heart to think that you are calling us to yourself, opening our eyes to see your wonders as if for the first time. We want to be a part of your faithful remnant in a world that too often loses sight of the holy. Help us, we pray. Amen. I invite forward now the chairperson of our stewardship committee, Mr. John DeLoach, and he'll speak to us just a few moments about what we're going to do this year.
Good morning. I know a lot of you thought that the Joker from Batman was giving free money out today. You know, a lot of you said, what is this for? A lot of you said, this is a catch. And a lot of you said, I don't deserve this. Well, you've got a dollar from the church to you, and I want you to keep that dollar. And I will explain that in just a moment. You know, every year when we have our stewardship talks, I listen so intently to what is talked about in the kingdom of God. And you know, a lot of people, when stewardship is brought up, they start scurrying like rats on a sinking ship. You ever turned a light on and seen roaches running? They're scared of talking about money. Because with money like it is in today's time, as hard as it is to earn, and some of us are going backwards in our money, it's hard to stand up here and motivate people to give money. But, you know, when we think of stewardship, it comes really in three parts. And Jim and I have discussed this. And I like to think of it as kingdom building. You know, you give your time to the Lord and to the church. You give your talents to the Lord and church. Some of you may say what those are. If you had a chance to listen to you singing this morning, you have beautiful talents in singing. And most importantly, we give our resources to the Lord. And those are the things sometimes that people are the most uncomfortable with. We have a theme this year with our committee on stewardship, and it's make it grow. And if you got a dollar today, I'm going to tell you in a minute how we're going to make that dollar grow. And if anyone didn't get one and would like to have one, I've got a few extras. If you want to see me during church, I'll be glad to give you one. This morning, as I got up, I saw one of the most beautiful, precious things the Lord could give us. I saw the pre-dawn rising this morning at the lake. And it started out just an orange glow over the horizon, and it was sparkling on the clouds that were above. You could feel the hope of God coming in that sunrise this morning. And if you've never experienced one, please try to experience one. And if you ever get a chance, maybe go to the state park or somewhere, watch it come up over water, because it's absolutely a miracle from God when you see that. But as it came up, you could feel the power that God gives us and has entrusted in us just to be alive today. And if you could hear me today, if you hear this at all, whether you're on the radio or in the congregation, you have been blessed by God. And during the next 4 weeks, we want to think of making that dollar that you got grow. Some of you may know, my wife and I have a son, Brad, that's serving in Iraq right now. Our faith in the Lord's hand on him keeps us going. And you will notice that I've got a little camouflage bracelet in my hand today. I think Chuck and Ann Drake probably have one on, as well as my wife. And the day before my son left for Iraq, I put my bracelet on. I have not had it off yet. Because I pray to the Lord each day that he will give me the faith to trust in his hands. Now, the dollar today, I know a lot of you say, what can I do with this dollar? You can go buy you a candy bar. You can go buy a soft drink. You can put it in your wallet. But I do want those of you that got this dollar today to think about it for the next 2 weeks. You will, if you'll take it. I recommend taking it, just folding it. You can fold it once, fold it twice. But on the 22nd of November, we're going to have Commitment Sunday. But we've changed that name a little bit this year. We want to think of it as harvest money. And that's going to be harvesting the money that God has given to us in our time and our talents and giving a portion of it back to the Lord. If you will, if you got that dollar and you elect to put it in the offering plate on the 22nd of November, add a dime to it. Just put 10 cents to it and think of what the power of that would do. As I was looking over the quarterly statement this past week, and I had a chance to go in the office and look at some of the financial things, I didn't realize what a huge job that the Finance Committee and the board has. I hate to say this, but we don't have a lot of money in the church. And we can't make people give more. But there was one number that really struck me, and that was the number of people that we did not receive anything from. And I know there are many reasons that that's the case, but we hope if you're able to just give that dollar and maybe a dime more to our church, when we have Commitment Sunday this year, not only will you be blessed, but the ministry of God will be blessed. And I want to leave you with a story. The other day I heard this loud quacking noise outside. I immediately knew it was a duck. But I looked around and tried to find the sound. It was a beautiful white duck. He was very, very distraught. So Georgie and I finally decided, as he swam around trying to talk to us, that he had lost his mate, probably. And many of you may have lost your mates. But I want to promise you, your mate is in heaven, and so is God. So please remember us this Commitment Sunday. I feel touched by the Lord to come up here and have the opportunity to speak with all of you. Thank you so much. If you need a dollar, I'm the man, okay? Oh, one last thing. If you got a dollar, some little magical person wrote GLY on that dollar. God loves you.
Good morning. Our epistle reading this morning is from the 7th chapter of Hebrews, verses 23 through 28. The writer of Hebrews is trying to give us, and still continue in this scripture, to give us a contrast between the priests of the Old Testament, which he refers to as the priests of the law, and the high priest, which is Jesus Christ, who is the new priest, the priest of the oath, the priest of the covenant. Let us listen now to God's word, and it is found on page 267 of the Pew Bible, if you choose to follow along. Furthermore, the former priests were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing the office. But he holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to, for all time, to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives and makes intercession for them. For it is fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners and exalted above in the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices every day, first for his own sins or then for the sins of the people. He did it once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests those who are subject to weakness. But the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints the Son who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If we were the kind of church that said amen out loud, I would have. It was wonderful. Appreciate that. As we approach our prayer time, let me lift up Phyllis McWatty, who is home from the hospital this past week, the family of Ray Watley, who died and was buried this past week, Jay Pendergrass, who continues to undergo tests and awaiting results, the family, the extended family, Kathy Kelly's nephew, Ben, who died and was buried this past week, David Stewart, longtime member who lives in Lexington. We understand from someone wrote on the board that he is in the hospital. I don't know the nature of that. And all those who serve in harm's way in service. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come to praise you and to thank you and to seek the strength and courage to walk in your ways. We have tried it alone, we've tried it by ourselves, and over we lose our way. We come to stay connected to the Lord of life, the author of love and hope eternal. Lord, you have promised your children the comfort and peace of the Holy Spirit, and we claim that promise. You have called us to be a light in the darkness of the world. Give us your light to reflect. You have called us to trust your will above our own desires. Enable us to trust. Use us, Lord, grow us, change us into kingdom people, sharing and showing Jesus Christ to the world. And now we do pray for our families, for our marriages, our children, for those who are in hospital, for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, for those with special concerns, for family members far away, for those who have difficult decisions and situations to deal with, for those with employment and financial concerns. All these, Lord, exist in this part of your church, and we pray your special blessings and the guidance and wisdom of your Spirit as we work through and to the other side. Hear now, Father, the silent prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
There's a rumor going around that I bite, so I'm going to move. Good morning, everybody. Hey. Good morning. I want to tell you a story that's in the Bible, in the book of Mark. And it's about when Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples. And you know, Jesus was really popular among many, many people. So there was always a crowd around him. Well, this was no different. There was a big crowd around Jesus. Well, there was this man at the back. His name was Bartimaeus. And he was blind. Now, that's a tough thing to be going through. We don't know what it's like to be blind, but he was blind. But he was yelling, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me, have mercy on me." And do you know the people around him were saying, "Bartimaeus, shh, shh. Now, don't you be bothering Jesus. He's not going to be fooling with you." And he just kept on, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me." Well, Jesus heard him. And he said, "Who is this man calling to me? Bring him up here." And so they did. They brought him up. And Jesus said, "What do you need?" He said, "I'm blind and I want to see." And you know what Jesus said? "Go out. Go out and live your life. You are healed." He healed the blind man to where he could see again. That is a miracle. Well, you know what that tells me? That God can do anything, anything. If we have faith, like Bartimaeus did, he had faith that Jesus could heal him. No matter what our problem is, we can turn to Jesus and he will help us. So don't ever hesitate to pray to Jesus about a problem, because he can help you. He helped the blind man. Okay, let's say a prayer. Dear God, help us to have faith that you can do anything. We love you. Amen.
And now, once again, because we are in an unusual flu season, I encourage you to pass the peace, to notice one another, to make eye contact, but not so much skin contact. We don't want to pass the flu and the cold. Let us pass the peace.
Thank you.
And now let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our gospel this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 46. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood there and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Go. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Years ago, I read that Irma Bombeck was quoting a real, honest-to-goodness, real little boy who was trying to figure out the rules of life for little boys in a new school. And this particular little boy, his name was Donald, and he said this. He said, "My name is Donald, and I don't know anything. I have new underwear, but I didn't sleep last night because I'm worried. I have a loose tooth. What if the bell rings and a man yells, 'Where do you belong?' and I don't know? And what if the trays in the cafeteria are up too high for me to reach? And what if my loose tooth comes out in school and we have our heads down and we're supposed to be quiet? Am I supposed to bleed quietly? What if I splash water on my name tag and my name disappears and no one knows who I am?" Some of that's kind of funny, but it's really not. A lot of us were taught as children to be nice, to be quiet, to sit down, don't move, and speak only if you are spoken to. I'm surprised I didn't get an amen from that. Sometimes that teaching takes a little too well, and the world passes you by while you are nice and quiet and sitting down and waiting to be spoken to. Now, there is such a thing as shy, and I definitely was that as a child. But the more I think of it, I also was sort of afraid to violate those rules, especially with my dad, but that's another sermon. Bartimaeus was blind, Back when people thought that blindness just might be a punishment from God, so people kind of kept their distance from him. Bartimaeus was blind and he was a beggar. Now there were no schools back then and there was no way for him to develop his talents or his intelligence. He was just pushed over to the edge somewhere and told to sit down, be nice, be quiet, don't move, and speak only if you're spoken to. Treated like a child. For Bartimaeus, it was even worse. You see, that is not his real name. That is a Hebrew description. Bar, some of you know, the bar in front of Bartimaeus simply means son of. And so Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. That's not his name. That's a description. And the description makes matters worse because Timaeus in Aramaic means unclean. Bartimaeus, the child of an unclean family. Could it get any worse for Bart? Blind, beggar, called by a name which is not his name, but which means son of an unclean man. So now you know the rest of the story, or really the first of the story, which makes the rest of the story more powerful. It was this man who violated all of the rules, and he grabbed at his one chance as Jesus passed nearby. He would not be ignored. He stood up and he faced the direction of the noise and the commotion, and he cried out with all of his might, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd yelled back. They said, "You son of an unclean man, don't you know the rules? Be nice, be quiet, sit down, don't move, and speak only if you're spoken to." They were saying, as rudely as possible, "Sit down and shut up." But Bartimaeus was determined not to let Jesus pass him by, and he cried out even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, folks, some of us are sitting down in our spirits. And we have disappeared ourselves into the background. We have merged with the wall paint. And we are sitting quietly, maybe politely, bleeding in our souls. And we have told ourselves, or perhaps we have been told, that we are unclean, that we are worth less than others, and we should just sit there and not move and wait until we are spoken to. But I'm saying today, I'm asking today, wait a minute. Have you not heard sometime God calling your name? Haven't you heard God calling your name? I know that you have, maybe in prayer, and maybe you ignored it, maybe in worship, and maybe you ignored it, or during the reading of one of Jesus' parables. Or maybe you saw yourself as a character in the parable. Maybe in this story, and I hope not, but maybe it was in the crowd yelling, "Shut up," to the outsider. Or maybe, and this is better, in the determined Bartimaeus, who just cannot take it quiet sitting anymore. Maybe you see yourself today as the one who wants more than anything to be healed of brokenness and silent suffering. Maybe you heard the words of Bartimaeus as I do. And sometimes when I read them, tears well up. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Make them your words. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." What really speaks to me is the second time, or maybe the third time, or maybe the fourth time. In some translations, it says that Bartimaeus would not stop yelling. In some, it says he yelled all the more when the crowd told him to be quiet. Now, finally, though, in spite of the crowd telling him to stop it, to be quiet, to sit down, and countering all of that, Jesus tells the crowd to hush, and he's still and silent himself. He tells the crowd from way over there, "Call him to come here to me." And it's funny when you see the transition. Just think about this. In an instant, the obedient crowd, which really doesn't know what is right and what is wrong, they only know how to be a crowd, the crowd swaps. They change from full forward to full reverse. And now they say, instead of be quiet, they say, well, Bartimaeus, I guess you had reason to stand up and yell after all. He has spoken to you. Come on, we'll bring you to him. The outcast Bartimaeus, son of an unclean father, has the courage and determination and trust in Jesus, that Jesus is different from everybody else. Everyone else in his life had put him down, kept him down, and quiet. He trusted that Jesus was different, and Jesus was different. He asked for healing and he got it. And even before Bart was healed of his physical blindness, he saw something in his soul about Jesus that even the sighted crowd missed, that Jesus was different. Jesus did not think and would not think him worth less and doomed always to be an outcast on the edge of the society. Jesus said, come here, and Jesus made him whole. Now, Jesus still is making broken people whole. And Jesus still is calling marginal people to come here. Jesus is still very different than from what the crowd thinks he is. And Jesus is not some extra cosmic large version of our parents. They were as broken as we are. They were sinners as we are. And they were just as crowd conscious and just repeating what other people say as we do. Jesus is different. Jesus came primarily not for physical healings. He did some physical healings, but they were to gather a crowd so that he could preach the kingdom and the new reality and the new creation that God was offering in him. He came for spiritual healing, for grace and for forgiveness and reunion with the God who we are estranged from by sin and selfishness, the God we are estranged from by fear and crowd consciousness. God is real. And God's character is best known by knowing Jesus. Remember that the next time you feel that little urge and want to ignore it because you're afraid. God is not scary like a big angry parent, nor is God defined by a big angry mob. God is like Jesus. And Bartimaeus trusted Jesus no matter what the crowd said, and you and I can trust Jesus no matter what the crowd says. Now there is an ancient tradition called the Jesus Prayer. And the Jesus Prayer comes from this story and a few other stories like it in the Gospels. Now, some folks have criticized the Jesus Prayer for being way too Catholic, whatever that means. And some folks have criticized the Jesus Prayer for being too repetitive. But I noticed that Bartimaeus repeated until he got a response. Let the crowd yell if they want to. I find it meaningful to pray the Jesus Prayer sometimes over and over and over when no other words will do. Now, the Jesus Prayer is a bit expanded. It's been called the Gospel in miniature. It is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Try it. I'll wait. When I am absolutely overwhelmed, absolutely at the end of my rope, when the situation has forced me to sit down and agree like little Donald from that first story that I don't know anything, when I feel like that, nothing seems more appropriate than the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That same prayer in miniature has made it into our literature and into our liturgy and into our songs as the ancient Greek phrase, Kyrie eleison, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. And even later in the Roman Catholic Church, when they Romanized and Latinized most everything, they retained the early Greek words in their original form here.
Kyrie eleison. The cry is echoed and it has resonated through the ages. We know this cry. Lord, have mercy. We know this prayer. We have prayed it in emergency rooms. We have prayed it in hospital chapels. We have prayed it alone in the dark at night. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. I cannot live like this another moment. We may be praying it right now. As we sit with practiced faces locked into an artificial smile, we may be bleeding quietly inside, hoping that no one will notice. Well, I'm here to say that Jesus is passing by, Jesus is nearby, and Jesus notices. And I am ignoring the crowd today who says, Jim, don't do this, we're Methodists. We don't have altar calls except at scheduled events where people can avoid them. Oh, I'm sorry, this is the sermon God gave me today. Throw off your begging garments. Throw off your fear of the crowd, and you may pray where you are seated. Or during the closing hymn, you may come and pray at the altar. But just don't sit there quietly and ignore. God is nearby. Jesus is not a dead teacher who once was. He is not a mere symbol of our highest hopes. He is not a metaphor. Jesus is a present reality. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ is present and as near as a prayer today. Are you going to just sit there again and pretend that you're not bleeding, not hurting, not yearning to come closer to the one who can make you whole? Pray with me before we sing. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Let us stand and sing. Number 110.
Thank you.
I receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior, and the power and the presence and the guidance and the wisdom and the peace of God the Holy Spirit, even in this moment. God has had mercy on us. Let us have mercy on others and share the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.